The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast. It's the Weekend Podcast. I'm joined by Pete and Steve.
Hello.
And a dog. Hey. And a dog. And a strange dog. Steve, how do you get yourself in these situations? Steve just said, I've got a dog in my house. Whose dog is it? Tonight, it's Cam.
It's my friend's dog who's basically asked if he could stay at my house tonight. And I'm sure she's fine. He's done that many times before. But he turned up with his dog this time. He said, do you mind dog sitting while I'm on the date? I was like, not really. No.
So he's gone on a date and left you with a dog. Well, and he's gone to find a dog. But you should say I don't have dogs in the house. Well, you're saying that's not true, Steve, is it? but you should say I don't have dogs in the house. And you don't have dogs in the house, do you?
No, I don't.
Did you tell him that?
Well, he'd already driven over, so I couldn't really say no at this point. He had all food in his car.
Has he driven away? I.e., do you reckon he's coming back?
Well, yeah. Well, actually, I dropped him off in his car, so his car that size. So yeah, he's definitely coming back. To be fair, the dog is good as gold. He's just, in fact, this.
What sort of dog is it? Massive Rottweiler.
I don't know what dog it is. It's a small one.
Ask him.
It's a what?
It's a small one.
Ask it. What it is?
How small is it next to you now?
Yeah.
The thing is, first and foremost, right? He didn't mention anything about the dog. Just turned up, just turned up with a dog.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't mention it. Cam, what is wrong with Cam? What is wrong with you? Is it someone's house with a dog and assume they'll have a dog and say, I'm off out dating, have a dog. And then second of all, if you're a dog lover and you own dogs, it's fine. But if you've never had a dog and you never, you know, it's a different thing. People look at dogs as in like, it's just like doing it with a dirty, it's worse than that, having a dirty kid, you know, like a two-year-old kid. Say, I don't have to go after that and I'm off out.
That's where I would draw the line.
But, so that poor little dog is sitting there. Has he ever seen you before?
Yeah.
When? He's not familiar with you, though, is he?
Well, I've seen him once before, but that Cam says, tell you what, he's molting all over my sofa. There's hair everywhere.
Sure that's not you?
Can I get him to say something? I want to hear him. I don't believe he's got in there.
No, he doesn't, but he's not a barker, apparently, so...
Give him a little squeeze.
Steve, Steve, are you sure it's a dog? Is it in a little cage with a wheel? Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's quite small, I thought, yeah. So, Steve sent me an image of him. Sorry, I can't see the image. How do I see it? Oh, hang on. Steve, go on. Steve.
Hello, Steve.
Steve. Steve, I can't see you now, Pete. All I can see is Steve's very red head. What are you doing, Steve? Why are you on video to me? Steve is just... All I can see is Steve's very red face on video and the dog next to him licking the little Jack Russell. Oh, hang on. Listen, I'll have to hang up and get Pete back, you simple man. Hang on. Hello? is Pete still, is Steve still there?
Steve's disappeared. He's probably eating
dog. Do you know what happened? You wouldn't believe that. Steve, I'll get him back on now. Steve, right? Steve.
I'm back.
All of a sudden, right, I just saw Steve's face in video with a dog next to him. I said, where's Pete gone? So we replaced you with a dog for a second, Pete.
And yeah, Steve,
all I've got is Steve's big, fat, sunburned face, really red face. Well, why are you going to mark the top of your head, Steve? You're going to mark just above your nose. And the dog next to him licking his privates on Steve's sofa.
You've got to send us a picture. Well, you've got to post a picture on Twitter with the podcast so people can relate to this.
I was trying to send a picture, but I think I must hit the video button instead.
Yeah. Steve, why are you face so sunburned? You always do that every year. What's wrong with you?
I went out for a beer at lunchtime, and I think I stayed in the sun a little bit long.
By the way, if you're just tuning in for the first time, we do talk about stocks and shares. We do get around to that eventually when we're not talking about stray dogs in some people's houses. So I often do a poll on Twitter. And this week's poll, it's normally about stocks and shares. This week's poll was, do you take part in Twitter polls?
I saw that. It was good. Yeah.
I had 52% did yes, 48% no.
48% of people clicked on a Twitter survey to say they don't do a Twitter survey.
Yeah.
Amazing. It was like the Brexit vote all over again.
Yeah, so one of the ladies, Joe, her name is, huh? If you vote, then that would be a yes. Yes, I'm just having a laugh, really, there, Joe. But 40% said yes, they don't take part in Twitter polls, which is very good.
But no.
Have you got a bird there as well, Steve? A bird and a dog?
No. Oh, okay. Oh, the bird's outside, yeah.
Well, it's Friday night.
Do you know what to feed the dog, Steve, or anything? Have you ever had any dog experience? I mean, four-legged dog experience, of course. Steve!
I put some water out for him.
Okay, where is it? No, it's not in a pint glass, is it? It's on the top.
Yeah.
I just gave him a bottle of water.
Yeah. He hasn't opened it yet, though. He's obviously not thirsty. Yeah, he hasn't touched it. He licked the lid a couple of times, that's about it. Right, let's talk about stocks. And anything you want to chat about, guys? I tell BT, hey! Hey! Ooh! Hey!
BT.
About time.
I want to talk about feedback, and I saw your tweet saying no funding imminent or something, and no source or no evidence of that. But where did you find that information out then?
Yeah, well, hang on, let me just say, I'll go into that. But let me just say with my BT again. I'm not convinced this is a break in the trend until the price gets above the 200-day moving average. It's not done that for 2 years at the moment. Oops, sorry, windy pops. At the moment. It's just it's over the 20-day moving average, not the 50-day, though. So it's got to get above that 50-day, 125, 200. But it's looking quite promising at the moment. We've got a flat bottom there. Flat bottom goes, the ragging goal goes wild. So it's BT. And there's been even more buying. Like I said, the chairman's wife bought, I think a couple of others bought as well. The CFO was bought. He bought about 200 grand's worth. That's the chief financial officer, if anyone doesn't know what a CFO is. Chief financial officer has bought stock, 200 grand's worth. Now, come on. The guy in charge of the numbers and the figures has been buying a tump load of stock.
Is he allowed to do that?
If they're in a closed period, yes. So if they're not, about to report the next month, or I think it is, or they're not aware of any, but listen, if you are in charge of the... This is a very fine line, isn't it? He's in charge... He's the man in charge of the books, in charge of the figures. How does he not know anything that we don't? You know?
Yep. Yep.
It's ridiculous, isn't it? And all of a sudden, Jeff, you're buying shares, you? Yeah. Literally going to the bank, buying loads of shares. Yeah. Well, nothing.
Something happening? No, yeah. Nothing's happening.
No, we're reporting in a couple of weeks.
Nothing to see here.
Yeah, it's all fine. He's on to Harry and Larry. Oh, listen, and he's just afraid to give him Larry and Larry tips as well. Listen, lads. Yes, Jeff, the CFO of BT. I want to put 200 grand down, on BT shares. I said, I say, Harry, we got Jeff on the line here. He's buying loads of shares in BT. Yeah. He's the guy in charge of the all the money and stuff.
Yeah.
He's the man in charge of the till. So, looks like he's got his fingers in the till, but looks good. But, to me, that's a good sign. You've got the chairman in his wife's name, of course. Don't know why that is. But, I do know what it is, I suppose. It's a tax thing, isn't
it? Tax avoidance.
Yeah. So we got the chairman buying loads of stock for his wife, and the CFO buying loads as well. So I just think that's a good sign. You know, it's not morally a good sign. Yeah. It's quite questionable on the moral front. But, from an investor point of view, so it looks good.
And he's using 10 people's ISA allowances to do it.
Yeah.
So,
feedback, FDBK. I've also, I never, ever, very rarely, you've got to have a strategy, or you've got to try and formulate the strategy. That's why people go, I've always been one for strategies. Even when I was a manager of William Hill, I always try to get a strategy, even to beat the bookies. I couldn't do it, really. You can't really do it.
What? Even when you were working for William Hill?
Yes. Oh,
you were trying to beat the bookies?
I was betting all the time, yeah. Right. I used to know a guy, I don't want to say anything, I don't maybe get people in trouble. I used to know a guy, right? He was a manager of William Hill. This is awful, really. And there's a syndicate used to come in, place loads of bets every Saturday and Wednesday, whatever it was, on the lottery, the internal lottery, the Irish lottery, I think it was, that was run, and it's loads. And... they just trust this guy to go through the things to check the betting slips, for them. And he'd come in, and his Indian guy, he's going, any good? And the guy, I'd call him, say, Ben, it's not Ben. Ben said, no, not good. Couple of quid, he said, you've got £16 odds. So he'd pay him out, like £16.20 or something. And they'd put through, about 500 quid's worth of lottery tickets every, things. He would just pocket big wins.
What?
He's in Buckingham. He's just, I don't think you can do that anymore. But
how did they not know what the...
Because literally, they'd have about 500 tickets. They wouldn't be like, they just trust him to check them. No, good. Okay. So he just literally... I remember
where is he now? In prison, I hope.
Yeah, I remember once he had a 200 quid win and he just said, no, just took the money. It was dreadful. That's awful, David. I know they just trusted him.
I don't know why you're laughing. That's
I know.
Mental.
That's awful. But he was gambling. Yeah. You know, he's a gambling. Gambling something like that. But that's why. Listen, that's what I'm saying. You always have a strategy. Yeah. I always have a strategy. Try and formulate a strategy. And part of my strategy is, like you know, first of all, I look for a 10 bagger. You know, can a stock be a 10 bagger? Why? Don't just say yes, it can. Try and think of a reason why. And it's, you know, and that's why I go for micro cap stocks. I'm thinking, does the product they have, the asset they have, can it generate value 10 times more than where it is at the moment, you know? And I felt feedback was the same, because it was a universal asset. They had quite a few connections. The board they were bringing in were from massive companies like GE Healthcare and all this, very well connected, you know, Merck Healthcare, all these big guys. But anyway, it doubled in feedback. I sold half, and it's been selling off like crazy. Now, we realized this was because they did a strategy update, RNS, which was very good, and then... just a bit later, they had a notice of GM meeting, general meeting. And in that, they wanted to sort of have permission to sort of discard preemptive rights. So basically, they could issue shares. So that said to people, oh, there's a placing imminent. Uh-oh, placing imminent. So I've been in contact with this CEO, David Crabb. He's a guy, who's, new guy's come in, new CEO. He's turned around companies before. He's written a book about turnaround companies. And he's fair play. He seems to be sorting out the company. You had all these people doing their own roles, not really managing the company, but he is now managing the company properly, streamlining it for a company that can grow. But it's taken a hammering. But this week, I thought, I'm going to top back up here because I've sold half and I never really go revisit the company after that. I'd let it run, you know. But I thought I'm going to buy some more here. And so I emailed David and said, David, there's a lot of people thinking there's a placing going on because of that. Generally, there isn't. You can see the cash balance. We did a raising a while back. There's no imminent fundraise happening, you know. And so, okay. So I said, there's no imminent fundraise. Mm. And that day, though, it was down. It's been down, hasn't it? Really down for a long time.
Why didn't you disclose that when you said on Twitter? You almost... mysterious and like what you little tease you. Can't you just say I've spoken to the chief exec and he says this, or were you just being a little bit naughty and mysterious?
I just thought, well, I'll say that because part of me thought,
yeah, but it doesn't really, like, I could say that, couldn't I? But people go, yeah, Pete, I've heard you on the podcast, you know nothing. Oh, right, okay.
I wasn't sure. I thought, well, he said that to me in an email. That's obviously, he wouldn't disclose that unless, you know, it's not like something that's...
it's not public knowledge, okay.
No, it is public. It is public knowledge. He wouldn't say to me, as a CEO, you wouldn't say that to someone.
I don't know why you didn't say that on your Twitter message. You said, I've spoken, you could have just said...
Anyone could have approached him if they had the email, because all the RNSs, and asked him, and he probably, you know, would have given the same answer. You know, I'm not saying he's giving me special information. He does know me because I've written blogs. He's liked them. So he knows me, knows I work for Vox, obviously, and does a podcast.
And he invested, what was it, like a few hundred grand at 3.5p?
No, that wasn't him, but he invests. He took part in the last placing, which was above the share price. I was saying, at the moment, the share price is just going down and down. And I thought, wow, what's going on here? The business is a lot better than it was. It was down to a 4 million market cap the other day. And then all of a sudden, I thought I may buy some more of this. I didn't. And the next day, on Friday, it went up by 20%. Finished up by 80%.
Yeah, and then dropped right back down.
Yeah, no, it's up by 25%. End up 17.65%. So it's not dropped right back down. But I think now, the thing is, I think maybe other people must have asked him as well, because he is on LinkedIn. He's got, you know, you can see his email on RNSs. So I think...
Can I just interrupt? According to Harry and Larry, ended the day 5% down.
What? What?
Harry and Larry might have been, you know, at the pub and missed it, perhaps, but I don't know. It's saying to me 5.5%. Because I saw earlier in the day, blimey, it shot up 25%. I thought,
you're not lying, Pete. You're just saying that.
Thank you, Stephen.
Hang on.
Harry and Larry. Perhaps Harry and Larry finished early.
I'm on Vox. I'm on also now just checked out the London Stock Exchange. That's the London Stock Exchange. That's where the prices come from. They're both saying 17.65%. Well, Harry and Larry, the sun has got them. It's a Friday evening in the sun. Oh, should we clock off early, Harry? Yeah, oh, scud on for a scrub. Down the pub for a scrub.
What should I put down for feedback? Oh, just put 5.5% down.
Yeah. So what's the sell price at the moment?
Let's go down the duck and ferret for a quick spit of scrumpy, Harry. Come on. Come on, let's shoot off. Nice weather. Let's get down there in the beer garden. Otherwise, all the tables will be taken. If we wait until it's on clock off time, all the tables will be gone outside.
Yeah. So hold on, Harry. I haven't finished off the numbers on feedback.
Don't worry about that. People will catch up to elsewhere.
Oh. Hey. So, just what did it say the closing sell price was then?
Well, the mid is 2, so you can sell for 1.9. A bit nice.
Yeah, it's saying sell 1.6 and buy 1.8 on Harry and Larry. Yeah.
Harry and Larry are wrong. I'm looking at box now. Okay, agreed. Okay, so yes, it had a rise. Anyway, right.
I got to say, I mean, Harry and Larry now are probably they're absolutely off their faces on Scrum. Their faces are redder than Steve's. They're like two ruddy, ruddy country bumpkins. Oh, don't worry. They're probably walking on the street now, waddling around, arms around each other, giving each other kisses and stuff.
Actually, thinking about it, perhaps they've done that and they've just nipped back to the office to update the figures. Yes. And that's what we're seeing. Yeah. No, boy, put down feedback, 5.5% down. There we go.
And he said, feedback, Harry, I think you've done a wonderful job. No, the price. What? Yeah, you have.
Feedback,
what's going
Harry,
on?
Thanks, I'm not hungry.
What's going on there? That's odd, isn't it? What are they on about? Oh, no, just check. Right. I'm going to check another site now. And check. There's a third site. Let's just check on this.
Steve, can't you call Harry and Larry? You've got their mobile, haven't you?
I don't like to call them that liars, to be honest with
you. Do you know what, Harry and Larry? That's three sites I've been on now, and they've all got seven.
There we are.
So there we are. So no, it's up. So they are up. So but I was going to buy that. And I didn't buy any. I didn't take advantage. Fourth site now. They're wrong. Harry and Larry are wrong. Definitely. So surely four sites can't be wrong and then be right. Surely.
Let's hope not.
Yeah. Okay.
So anyway,
I think people just realise that it's been oversold, overdoing it a bit. And do you know what? I just think the calibre of that board now, they're not some spivvy board that'll try and get away with a 25% discount and really ram it down, because they're all invested in the company. They're skin in the game. They're not some fly-by-nights.
Well, I remember when it went up a few weeks back and I was like, oh, I was hoping to actually top up a bit, but it shot up. And now, it's that classic, you're changing a mentality as the price goes up or down. And now it's come down. I should, even now today, with that rise, it's still still good value potentially, isn't it, in terms of what's possible with this company. So I should really buy some more, like you were talking about.
It just
seems very volatile at the moment. But
It's
I don't know.
Yeah, no, I just think it's a good company. It's got a very experienced board. Guys who've been around for a long time. They're not fly by nights who are trying to turn a quick buck. They want to do something here, and I think this is David Crabb. He wants to really prove something here. Okay. Sorry, just type in something. Someone asked a question on Twitter.
Right. Was it about the poll?
Yeah, they just said they didn't want to take part in the poll. They just want to tell me no, they don't take part in surveys,
in polls.
But they don't want to get drawn into the actual poll itself. But they just did inform me personally that they don't take part. News elsewhere. Upland Resources up very strongly. It's a hard market, It's because of the tariffs and all that stuff of Trump. Threatening tariffs everywhere. Does he not understand he will tank the entire world, economy? It will go into recession everywhere if they start throwing tariffs about. Does no one benefits? No, America just has to be more competitive. That's all. That's all they have to do. I mean, so what's going to happen is he's threatening now to... EU has put some tariffs on him, on bourbon whiskey, Harley Davidson's, and jeans. That's very stereotypical, isn't it? You think, really? Yeah. That's very American. You see a guy, driving a Harley, wearing jeans, and then pulling over for drinking some bourbon. And you think, right, well, attack that guy. But if you think about it, right? If you think about it, that guy who's drinking that bourbon, wearing jeans, and riding that bike, he's probably a Trump voter.
Yes, exactly.
So exports that, those companies will suffer. But then he's threatening to go back now with, putting tariffs on European cars. He said, build them here if you want to do it. But Oh, Jesus. But, you know, it'll just go back and forth to the point where everyone's everything become massively expensive. So you're importing lots of inflation, but yet the economy starts in a downturn. So you have stag inflation, basically. You have to go into a recession, but inflation. So it's ridiculous. It's not going to work for anyone. And, what's that? What's the saying? You're on a road to hammering. Steve, you still there? Eaten by the dog?
Absolutely, yep.
Yeah. What's your thought on tariffs, Steve?
I don't know enough about them, if I'm honest, but it didn't seem
no. Steve, that shouldn't stop you having
No.
I prefer you
doesn't
just
stop Justin.
There's lots of exactly. There's lots of comedy value, Steve, in just going for it. There's no comedy value in you saying, I don't know enough about it, to be honest with you. There's no comedy value there. It's a cul-de-sac, right? Just go for it. Like, next time I ask you a question you know nothing about, just have a stab in the dark, yeah?
I usually do, but,
there's a dog putting you off. He's staring at you.
Is the dog just sat there staring you out?
Yeah.
No, because I turned the TV off. He's got bored. He's now looking at the patio doors.
Wow.
Right. Wow.
What an interesting life.
Sorry, I keep saying he is a she, actually.
Right. Ooh. Ooh. What on earth was that?
He's having a shake.
Yeah, I like a shake.
Oh, that was right.
Why did dogs do that then? Humans didn't do that. Why did dogs shake?
There's lots of things that dogs do that humans don't, so...
Yeah, some
poo
of them
in the garden.
Some of them we do. Yeah, you do. Wait, humans or dogs?
Speak yourself.
But what was I going to say? There's certain things dogs do that we'd like to be able to do.
I can.
Yeah. Okay. Upland Resources. A bit of good news from the background there.
Sorry.
The Sarawak Council took Petros to court. And so essentially, Sarawak is its own state and they want to be in charge of their destiny as far as oil and gas is concerned. And they were ruled, I think the federal court ruled in favour of Sarawak against a big petroleum sort of Petros company, which is very good for Upland Resources because they have connections, of course, and contacts in Sarawak. So they rose and came back a little bit. I'm just looking at my risers here on Friday. Europa Metals! Now, listen, someone just said to me, right, they're investing in Europe, this ex-Ferrum Crescent. Steve, tell me what you know about Ferrum Crescent, now Europa Metal, EUZ. Tell me what you know about him.
Sorry, I'm just getting licked by the dog. I'm getting a bit distracted here.
No, but it's
not, it's climbing on my face.
Put your trousers back on.
I'm not kidding, it's literally trying to lick my face.
Yeah, all right, see, it's missing too.
Sorry, what was the question?
That's not a pepperami.
Right. Yeah.
Go on.
Right.
Right, so what do you know about Europa Metals?
They changed their name recently.
From what?
To what?
FCR. It's not doing particularly great, is it? Recently.
What was the name beforehand, though?
Ferrum Crescent.
Oh, very good. Okay, good start.
Right.
Yeah. And they have that name because they used to deal in ferrums. And now they're not dealing in ferrums.
They used to sell ferrums in the Crescent.
That's it.
Yep, that's it.
But now they're dealing in metals. They just stop licking me. They're now
sorry.
Oh, it's because I've turned the TV off. She's getting bored now. Hang on.
Put the TV on. Put the volume down. It's fine. Isn't it?
Yeah, I think I'll do that. But I get distracted as well. This is the problem.
So I just see Steve and the dog on the set. You just stare at the telly with no volume on.
What was she watching? Pet Rescue or something?
We were watching a program about diabetes, actually. There we go.
Is he a Welsh fella?
Diabetes.
Steve, come on, let's perk it up. Let's go faster. What do you know? They've changed their name. Right. They don't deal in ferrums in the Crescent anymore. What?
No. They're dealing with metals, which is why they changed their name.
Well, what metals? Ferrums is metals.
They got a cracking JORC resource in Spain.
That's it.
That's about it, really. That's kind of all I know off the top of my head.
Okay.
I haven't got my notes for me.
The dog's eating my notes, sir. Yeah. Someone just said to me, what's happening with what's happening with Europa Metals? They're not moving, are they? Yeah, well, they're not at the moment.
They're going down.
No, I know. But that's still a bit of... they come back up though, haven't they? They went up on the Wednesday, and I think they were bought up. Listen, always buy on a down day. This is my thing. Always buy on the weakness. If you like a company, take advantage of the weakness. That's what you need to do. And if everyone did that, there wouldn't be a lot of weakness in a stock. But I mean, everyone starts to chase stocks. But let me say one thing about this. Someone said it's not a lot happening there, is there? They've just announced the start of a scoping study. Now, a scoping study puts the economics around a project, you know? And they have... What is that noise, Steve? Is he licking you?
He's licking my arm. I can't stop him.
That is a horrible noise. Normally it's bad enough when Steve's drinking.
What? I don't know why he's licking my arm.
But now
literally, he's going full on licking my arm.
She, Steve. That's why you do. That's why you're single.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
Wait, stop licking me. Right, sit down. Right, sorry.
Right, so they're doing a scoping study, right? That's the first started. I mean, they've got the money to do a study. So now, what they've got is 670,000 tonnes of zinc, 450,000 tonnes of lead, and 13 million ounces of silver. That's about, in the ground, that's worth, in the ground right now, that's worth about 3 billion. But it's not worth 3 billion, is it? Really? Why is that, Steve?
Worth 10 billion.
I don't know.
Well, if you had to get it out, Steve, what would you do? What would you have to do to get it out?
Oh, so you got to excavate it. So
excavate it. That's it.
Excavate
yes.
Excavate it.
Like an Eskimo.
With Pablo Escobar.
Yeah. So you have to get it out.
So although you've got it, you still got to pay for the staff in to kind of, yeah.
The staff, that's right. Just get the staff
there.
The
spades.
The staff.
Get all the spades.
And their uniforms. Yep. With their nice little European metal jackets on and stuff. Yeah, so you have to get drill rigs in there. You have to, because it's still exploration. You have to find the best way to drill, what to drill, where the model is. You have to know exactly which parts to drill, because they want to get the highest grade, because the highest grade is less processing of material. Because there's a lot of, you know, when you see something like 6.9% zinc, you imagine that. So you a ton of ore, mud and all that stuff, only 7% of that, which is quite high grade, by the way, 7% of that, you know, is zinc. You know, 93% of that is rubbish. Or, in fact, this is not. There's lead and silver in there as well. But you have to process that. It's the higher grade. So you find out where you're drilling. But it's cost a lot of money. You know, a lot of man hours. Drillings cost a lot of money. The processing metallurgy costs a lot of money. It all costs a lot of money. So that's why they do a scoping study to see how much will this cost to get it out. You know, is there enough there? Is the grade there okay to make it profitable? You know, when we spend all this money and we actually get to the end of processing it and then selling it, how much profit are we going to make? So it's a business model. So scoping study, or the pre-economic assessment, will assess all this. In the end, they'll come out with what's called a net present value. Now, that's basically looking at the metal in the ground, taking away all the costs, you know, everything that costs you get out there, and it's looking at the value of that. And that's what they'll come to. And I reckon this will be, I don't know, it's hard to say. It'll be over $100 million quite easily, right? So that's where I think the net present value will be. They'll also come out with figures with life of mine, capital expenditure, operating expenditure, you know, per tonnes, all that stuff. But essentially, that's, I think, will be the re-rate. So that's coming in Q4, and I think we'll rise towards that. The share price will start rising towards. They've only just started. They haven't actually put the drill in the ground yet. They were pretty announced, people that's going to be doing this very soon. They've announced a couple of people already, but you know, the actual plans and what they intend to do, because they're still going through a desktop model of what they know about this, because there's been 44,000 meters drilled before, so they know quite a bit of this all quite well, but they're going to be expanding on that, and then they'll go into the model of how they're going to do it and etc. before they just get stuck in. You don't just get stuck in there with a shovel. You know, you need to have some kind of plan, man, and where you're going to build, where the mine will be built, where the optimum place will be built, where the water, electricity is coming in, all that stuff is going to be looked out. So that's a scoping study, and it tells you what it could be. You know, what the project could be worth, and then you go to a feasibility study, or pre-feasibility study. Which is like what it should be, and then the feasibility study really is what it will be, definitely, because that's a lot more detailed. But when they actually get to the point where they do a scoping study, that's not only for the company itself, it's also for potential partners, you know, say this is how much this is worth. And so I think when you've got a company that's, what, 3.32 million market cap, that's the value of that company, and they turn out that they've got a project there that could be worth over 150 million, whatever, you know, and you get a market cap of 3.3, you realise, hang on a sec, they're in charge of an asset that is what I don't know. What is 3 million into 150 million? Steve,
50.
You've got a potential 50 bagger here. Okay, market cap isn't you know, like for like NPV.
So I see
Europa Metals, one of the best performing stocks this year, and I did a list. The five stocks I think will perform this year. Of course, I'm not going to be spot on, but just judging the market cap, judging the cash to do this work, and that cash, that £1 million gross will unlock several million pounds worth of value, and I think it will re-rate. Listen, this can treble. And it won't even be 10 million market cap, which isn't, and that's still below where their peers are valued at, with smaller, you know, resources. So anyway, yes. Question.
When do they start drilling?
They're going to start doing it very soon, but the Scooby study.
What date are they drilling?
What are you thinking? Going to watch? Are you, Steve?
Well, they announced that. They announced a full itinerary, I think, of what's going to be happening. So they've announced they're going to start the Scooby study. They've just hired one guy, and they've announced who they're going to involve. Let me just say what the RNS was, but who is involved?
Steve, we should fly over there, get a couple of hard hats, you know, get over there. And they're like, who the hell are you? Steve and Pete from the Vox Markets podcast.
Yeah, just checking
the drilling.
That's also what I like, you see. Do you know what? It's in Spain. Never underestimate a safe jurisdiction in a first world country. Like, you know, there are lots of countries around the world where there are wars ongoing, especially in Africa. The mineralization in Africa in countries, amazing. But, you know, it can go wrong. Very easy. You can have a war going about the next day. You can have some kind of elections that throw up revolutions, political, and political problems all the time. That's going to happen every day. But in Spain, it's not likely to happen, okay? So they announced the start of their scope study, and they've announced UK-based Addison Mining Services, and I've seen them involved with a lot of companies, so very good, actually. They're going to start the commence initial scoping study. And so they reckon they'll be finished by Q4. So that's the end of this year. And we're nearly halfway through the year already. Like, you know, so before you know, I think, listen, people understand this. You mark my words, this will have no, do your own research, this is complete speculation. This will have no problem doubling, probably tripling before the end of the year. That's what I think.
So here's my question. With all those figures you were spouting there and all that, and that sounds great, but even if after the scoping study, the scoping study and then the pre-economic feasibility thingy assessment. After all that, if it turns out that, I don't know, the actual volume is half of what we think it might be, or even a third of what it, you know, a much lower, that's still a huge amount, isn't it?
No, it won't do it less. If anything, the resource will get bigger because it's been well drilled. It's not like they're just judging this. It's not like oil where you can get, contingent resources based on 3D. So when all companies, they will do, hang on, a 3D seismic, and they will come up with a figure, a competent person will come up with a figure based on the seismic of what they think the contingent resources are, right? That's still quite risky. But this has been drilled, it's been tested, so we know the zinc's in there, and they got 16 million tonnes at 6.9%. If anything,
will get bigger. Where's the risk? But my thing was, like, if it actually it turns out, it's a third of the size, or it's 20% of what we thought we might get out of it, or whatever, then, okay, but that's still quite a lot. What's the risk? If you're saying, no, it won't go down, and I appreciate it's just Justin saying this, not, but if that's your opinion, fine, but, where is the risk then? If you're so sure about it, why isn't everyone in the world
I'm so sure about it is because the market cap. The risk is already in there.
Yeah, no, well, that's what I think.
I mean, so if this was valid,
that's kind of what I was getting at, because, like, the market cap's so small, it could be, like, come out at, like, 20% of what we think, and it's still, the market cap would be way higher than it is, should be, than it is now.
I'm just thinking that 3.3 million as well, that includes about 900,000 of cash. You take the cash out, and the company is worth, about 2.5 million. So that's nothing on a listed company with an asset like that. It's nothing. So the risk is already in there. But listen, they may, go in there and miss the ore body or miss the higher grade bit. So it may bring the economics down a bit, And so it doesn't take a lot to bring it down. So
And end up costing more as well, perhaps.
And then people may think, we don't know if it's viable, look at other projects. But what they want to do is come out with a very good you know, cost-effective project here, and exploration is risk. You know, it is risk. I mean,
yeah, of course.
But I honestly think I can't see. Based on a recent deal, and that's why Lawrence, the CEO, executive director, got excited today when he posted, and people didn't understand the reason for it. He posted a recent deal in the lead zinc arena in Europe. So they are very comparable because the price of zinc is the same all around the world. You know, if it's bullish, it's bullish. It's just rallied to a 10-year high recently. It's come back a little bit, but you know, the outlook is bullish for it, unless Trump imposes taxes everywhere. So that's a risk there. But if he starts doing that, and we get into a trade war, recession kicks in, all metal prices will go down. But what I say is, you know, he posted a while back saying that this company has invested $3 million in a company a fifth the size, like I said, of Europe Metals, and in their lead zinc project. It's a fifth the size of this. And so that would value, you know, going on the size of resource, that would value Europe Metals at over $70 million, you know? So that just shows, and that's why he was excited about it, because it's in Europe, it's lead zinc. And it's got a resource a lot smaller than EUZ. So, yeah, I'm happy with this going. Yeah. And I just think they'll slowly unlock. That's the thing, you see. It's all about de-risking the project. And the more you do, at the moment, why it's risk at the moment is that there's no economic model to prove that it's economically viable. They may know it and think it is. They're not allowed to say it legally, though. And they're not allowed to misrepresent because you have to go through certain stages, you know. It's like you can build a car that you know is safe for the road. Yeah, but unless you got all the official passes and checks by the regulations or the authorities, and they've tested it and they know it's capable of breaking certain distances, or it's not going to blow up. And unless it's checked and certified, you can't take it on the road. Full stop. People will not look at it or buy it, or you can't sell it anyway. So it's like that. You've got to go through this process of proving it up. Of making it viable economically and doing the scoping study by an independent company, and then officially they can say, okay, this is now economically viable. Because investors, there are investors who won't even pay any attention to it, bigger investors, unless you've got at least a scoping study, minimal in a scoping study. So unless you get that scoping study that's decent, they won't even look at it. I mean, if you looked at Asia Met, we all know how good that project was, even before, they're not even at feasibility yet. And yet, J.P. Morgan has only just come in now in the last 6 months, didn't they? J.P. Morgan came in the last 6 months. So they've waited a while. We knew before J.P. Morgan knew it was a decent project, but they're not coming in, you know.
Well, no, we were prepared to put money in before J.P. Morgan.
But it's almost like a benchmark for companies like that, like investment companies like J.P. Morgan. They won't look at a company. And obviously, they've probably talked to Tony and he's gone through all the bits and they've seen his track record and stuff, so they know. They trust him, and they know when he's saying it's a good project, and he's shown them the pre-economic assessment. He's shown them his P, so they're loving that. Do you want to check out my P? And the PEA.
Look at my pie.
So that's what I'm saying. There are certain levels you have to get to, a benchmark you have to get to before investment companies will even look at your resource and what you got going on there. So that's why minimum requirement is my company. If you are looking to invest in an exploration company, I'm talking to people listening to the podcast now. I get people asking me about certain companies, and I just say that's very early on exploration. They haven't even got a resource there. What I mean by that is that they haven't got like a JORC resource or NI 43101, which is like a standard where it's been drilled to a certain level, a quality level, a benchmark where they know there's a certain resource in there that then they take on, and that then you get the resource first, can then take that on to a scoping study or pre-economic assessment, and so you develop it that way and go through a pre-feasibility, then feasibility, then you could develop a mine. So if you're looking at investing in a company even before it's done has a JORC resource or kind of like a resource definition, that's very early on. You don't really know what's going on in there. Now, I've done that with Cora because the grades coming out are very good, and the guys behind that project have all made lots of money in mining in Africa. And you question even why are those guys involved, that tiny company, because they know exactly what they're doing, And then you realise, you see the grades coming out, and you realise that Hummingbird spun this company out, Cora, Hummingbird, who have gone from explorer to things, spun this company out because it would take the exploration sort of budget off them because they're doing a lot of exploration. And it's probably, do you know what's going to happen? What's going to probably happen? Like John May came on the podcast today, on Friday, and he was saying, what's going to happen is Hummingbird will probably buy them. If they don't buy them, someone else will buy them, make it into a bidding war. But the grid's coming out looking very good, but they'll be bought out probably, Cora. Unless they try and resist, but they, you know, so, but yeah, so that's the way forward there. So yeah, you can go get involved early on exploration, but there's got to be certain conditions, isn't there? Like that's why I like Cora early on. They haven't got a joke resource yet or anything, but I just think the grades come out very good, and they've got some mega people surrounding that project that have done it before.
I was going to ask on Cora. You know, I'm down a little bit, not you know, a few percent down, but. It's one of those things of when to top up. I know the strategy is 10% down, but you sort of think, well, will it go? Will I get 10% down and then before a rise, and then I'll miss out? I don't know. I was looking the other day thinking I'd like to average down, but do I wait further?
If you look at all the valuations, longer? If you look at all the valuations of companies in Africa around the area who have a million ounce resource or more on a mining, their market cap's all way above 100 billion. Cora's below 10 billion, right? So yeah. If you think they're going to go on to do that, that's okay. You have to allow for dilution because when they issue shares, of course, the market cap gets bigger. So you can say if they didn't dilute, which would be that's impossible. If they didn't dilute between now and then, raise any more funds, then they'd probably be a 10 bagger in the next couple of years, you know. But they are going to dilute. So let's say they're not going to dilute massively, but even if they dilute, they're crazy. You know, they're going to be sort of a 5 bagger at least, you know. And I just think. Yeah, I don't know. I got a good feeling about Cora. A very good feeling. Cora.
Okay. Interesting. Yes.
Very good feeling.
Good.
Tell you who also has done well this week is Andalas. They've had a nice little rocket.
Yes.
They have, haven't they?
But do you know what? It's amazing, isn't it, how sentiment changes. Do you remember that was Dave, you know, came on. Dave Whitby said he was going to send your kids to Eton, get, you know, tuck some of those shares away. Any CEO has ever said that to me about, you know, get some of these, you know, buy some of these shares. I've done the opposite. I don't really trust them at all. So response to social media speculation was the thing, wasn't it? There was the company notes recent social media speculation. Are you on social media? Oh, I love social media, me. regarding the potential purchase of an interest in an oil and gas asset in Indonesia, the Bunga Mas. Project sharing contract, Bunga Mas. What is Bunga Mas? Anyway,
Steve's got some.
In accordance with the company's previously stated strategy, the company continues to evaluate a number of oil and gas projects, of which Bunga Mas is one. However, discussions remain at an early stage. Yeah, but I don't understand. If they're at an early stage, right? I don't understand why it rallied, really. I mean, they've got this the Badger prospect in the North Sea they've gone through now. Dave Whitby's gone. It looked like they're trying to quietly, you know, tune out their previous Indonesian stuff there, apart from this one. But surely they have to pay money for that, to acquire, you know, a share of that. So, I don't know. So that's going to cost them money. So I don't see why it's rallying, because it will have cost them some money to farm in, so I'm assuming. Unless there's a share deal, but they don't have any cash, so I don't know what's going on there. So yeah, no. I don't understand why it's rallied crazily. But how much are you up now, boys, on that? Doing well?
Minus 85%.
Yeah, same here, yeah.
After the rally.
Yeah. That's
I think it's got like 10 bag before I even break even. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, so yeah. Anything else? Infrastrata, I told you about those. I've got like gas storage. They're progressing very well. I don't really know a stock until I write a blog about a stock. When I write a blog about it, I really get to know it. You know, I do some research on it, and so I'm going to write a blog on Infrastrata. I haven't yet. I don't know too much about it. I do know it's a tiny market cap. They can provide 25% of the UK's gas storage, which is very much needed because apparently Rough, which is the name of the last one, which was in the North Sea, is now defunct. And so we rely on a lot of gas imports, but we can't store gas. And so it's of national importance, this project. And they've got, I think, 5 or 6 of these underground storage in Ireland there. And the size of the... I saw the video today. It's very descriptive, actually, Adrian. The size, the underground, the size of the Gherkin Tower tall about 80 metres wide salt caverns. And they need, obviously, the money to build these. Then they store that for years. But it's a good project. We've got about 60 million NPV on it, and they are like a 4 million market cap. They've got the cash. So all they need now is, it's a long way to go, but it's quite impressive because it's needed, and there's only one storage unit now, gas storage unit in the UK. And, you know, if you can't store gas, then you're always reliant on, in the winter when it gets really cold, you need to start importing lots of gas. But if you can store it, you know, through the summer, what you've produced, then you're more reliant on your own gas. So it makes sense to have that. Anything else, guys?
One that I saw rising during the week and for no apparent reason was our old friend Yolo. I've still got that tucked away down in the dark recesses of my portfolio. But
yeah, me too.
It's kind of risen from about 5p up to, broke 8p this week. And it's dropped back a little bit. But no particular news. And I just wonder, one of those ones where you kind of wonder what's going on there, because that's, that's interesting. But there we are.
I took part in the placing over a year. So I think the last placing I took part in was over a year ago, whenever that placing was. Yeah. Let me look when it was. I think there was the last placing. So I realised
18 months.
I didn't even have them on my main watch list. I didn't even have them on a watch list. I just forgotten all about them. So I call up the broker. I realise there's some money in there. And I said, can you sell them? And he tried to dissuade me from selling them. He said, listen, he said retail sells a little bit earlier when it starts happening. Then when they get the break even, they start selling. I said, yeah, but listen, I've done quite well. I last couple of years, I know what I'm sort of doing. I may miss out on the rise here, but, I prefer to put it somewhere else. I honestly, genuinely believe it's like that thing. It's an allocation of capital. It's like Paddy said that recently. He said BT's getting back to almost break even for him because he bought a lot lower than this. And he said, about time to sell. And I said, well, don't sell on break even, because once the momentum gets behind this. And he said, yeah, but can I put it somewhere else better? I said, yeah, where though? So it's already to say that unless you know somewhere else definitely you get better return. But BT now could be, if you. I would say it'll go to the 200-day moving average. If it breaks through that, let it come back, right? And it comes back to about the 50-day moving average of it, so go back under the 200-day moving average, then buy there. And then... Yeah. And then
you've managed to get the conversation back to BT.
Yeah, yeah, no, what I'm saying is... What I'm saying is allocation...
That's incredible. I get your point.
No, I sold it because it's allocation of capital. I can allocate the capital more efficiently elsewhere. BT... What's going on?
Steve,
is that you?
Just a collar scratch.
Okay. So, Peter said, listen, that could be a nice income and capital appreciation earner for a couple of years, because they've got a decent dividend. We're at a low level now, the share price. You could earn, 5%, 5-10% off the capital increase. You could earn about another 5% off the dividend, pretty much, when it's going up. And so you've been earning 10-15% off a big stock. And it's a turnaround here. They get a new CEO in. Should never know, it could go back to new highs. So, wouldn't sell it off too early. And it's one of those stocks you can just hold on to for years. And if you give, reinvest the dividends, before you know it, you're getting compound interest and you're earning a decent way. It's the kind of thing you should hold till you get a pension, And it's supposed to be paying you income all the time. Dividends on dividends. You know what I'm saying?
Got it. Anyway, back to Yolo. So, you haven't sold, have you? Or you did sell?
Yeah, I sold, yeah. But I earned, let me go back to the. Issue equity investment, further issue equity. It was 2016. That is when they did.
You kept that quiet because you didn't tell me and Pete you sold.
I literally didn't know until Pete said it was rising. I didn't even know. I owned it.
You sold this week, is what you're saying.
I sold after he told me, this week, And it went up the day after I sold anyway, so it's not like I picked the top,
Are you still down on that, Pete?
Oh, yeah. But Justin must have been down. I was down.
I bought a penny. I didn't understand because I even forgot that they consolidate the stocks. They're 10 for one. So it's 10 pence higher than it was. So it was like...
Must have been 20% down.
Yeah, it was about, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I was supposed to say
that. But it was like having free money. Cause I didn't realize... I thought...
Because you've got so much, yeah, a good point.
No, I thought I had nothing in there at all. I thought I'd sold most of it out. Yeah. I didn't sell most of it out. I still had a little chunk in there. I thought, I'll get that out.
It's equivalent of, looking behind the sofa and finding, $100,000. Oh, I didn't realise I had that there.
It's like losing 30 quid. No, losing 20 quid and then finding like 17 of it behind the sofa. Brilliant. Yeah. You know, you're not annoyed at that. Not annoyed at that because you thought you'd lost it anyway. But so yeah.
But where's the other 13 gone? Maybe the dog took it.
Yeah, no, 3, isn't it? Like losing 20 and finding 17.
Oh, 12, I thought you said 30. Sorry. Yeah. 17. Yeah, where's the other 3 gone?
I don't know. That's the dog, yeah. It's in the money box. But yeah, so I'm going to reallocate that somewhere. I can put that into MISA now because I haven't put anything in MISA this year. And I can start putting that elsewhere. But then Megan said, you owe money. So what? So you pay off the holiday for Christmas time. But, you know, we're going to go on a holiday. So, oh, so that's like on a holiday for 4 people. And someone's taking all of it up. I thought, oh, brilliant. Excellent. But I said, it's a holiday. It's a holiday, isn't it? Nice. Experience. Bye.
That sounds like you're trying to convince yourself.
Yeah. But so what's the saying? Don't buy things. Buy...
Experiences.
Things are important.
Buy shares.
Yeah, shares. No, what's the saying?
Memories, that's it.
Yeah, no, things are important. Things aren't important.
Prostitutes.
It's not the things that are important. It's not the things... What is it? It's quite a good, profound saying. Obviously, I haven't got the capacity to install that in my head.
Exactly, it's so important. Don't buy things.
We know what you mean.
Sell stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah,
right, good. Is that enough?
Yeah, I think
you know, it's an hour start, so let's go.
Yeah. Okay, Steve's going to take the dog for a walk. Yeah, no, it's experiences are important, isn't it? The most important things in life are not things.
The shares.
No, that's the saying. The most important things in life are not things. They're right, it's not things, is it? It's not things you can touch and buy and feel. It's literally memories. That's it. So, so I thought, you know.
What a lovely note to finish on.
Yeah, and that's why we're going to Dubai. Because it's really cheap and it doesn't cost anything. It's just free, for a free memory. Anyway. All right, lads. Lovely. Good. Lovely stuff. Have a nice weekend. Good. Any plans, Steve?
Yeah. I'm doing a Spartan race on Sunday, so that'll be fun.
Oh, wow.
A Spartan race.
What's that?
Let's start the podcast again. What?
It's a bit... you probably know Tough Mudder, do you?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's the American version of that. It's like a bit more elite.
Talk about this. Yes. Yeah.
A bit more elite, Steve? What do you mean you've never run a race in your life? You've never raced in your life. Why is it a bit more elite?
What do you mean?
It's not elite, is it?
Well, it is. It's harder than Tough Mudder. It's a lot more challenging.
You can't say elite. You've never done a race in your life, have you?
No, this is my first.
So I don't.
He's talking about the event, not he's talking about his performance. He's saying the event is harder.
Yeah. It's a lot of elites do it, basically.
Right, yes. So you've gone straight in at the top. Well done, Steve.
Yeah, I'm not running with the elites, obviously, but I'm giving it a stab. It's my first one, so why not? Doing that.
Where is
Good luck, Steve. Where?
It's up in Gloucester.
Who are you doing that with?
Just a friend of mine, Tom.
Oh, Tom Reeves?
Yeah.
Yeah, Tom is fit, though.
Yeah, I know. I'm nervous about that. Yeah. I think he might be helping me get over the obstacles.
Of the what?
A little bit. Obstacles.
Obstacles. Steve's biggest obstacle is saying the word obstacle. Okay. Well, right, Steve, let us know how it goes. You know, take a picture of the dog. Take a picture of you and Tom in the mud. And,
yes, I will do, yeah.
I want to see a picture of this dog and you, Steve, with your red face.
Yeah, I do. Okay. I'll send it to me, Steve. We'll put that up as a podcast, the cover for the podcast this weekend. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah,
all right, bye-bye then.
Excellent. All right, then, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.